Good morning, everyone. I thought that this morning, after our 20 weeks or so in the wonderful letter to the Colossians, we might, just for the next few weeks, do something a little different. So can I ask you to turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel, the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, and chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17. Give you a moment to find that. And I'd like to read verses 1 to 11. So from 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Soco, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Soco and Azekah in Ephes Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield-bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come down to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Well, so begins one of the Bible's most famous stories, which for the next few Sunday mornings I'm hoping we can listen to, perhaps more carefully than ever before, because I want us to hear its profound message for people like us in a time like this. Because, of course, we all know the story. It's a story that many of us first heard as children. It's a story that I think I've found in almost every children's Bible story book I've ever seen. But it is, and this is what I hope that we will see, very much a story for adults, with a message for adults that adults need to hear. And it seems to me, particularly at a time like this. Now, I've given this little series of studies a title, From Fear to Faith. For that, it seems to me, is what this story is about. You see those words at the end of verse 11? They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now, that's something we can relate to, isn't it? It certainly is at the moment. Dismayed and greatly afraid would be a fair description of the mood of the whole world right now, don't you think? I'm not sure whether it's a good idea, but Moya and I usually watch the SBS World News each night. And this would be a good summary. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. And it's not just COVID. I mean, think of Lebanon, Afghanistan, Myanmar, South Africa, and too many more. They were afraid, greatly afraid. Even in our relatively safe and secure little corner of the world, fear is in the air. Not as constant as in some places, no doubt. Not as intense most of the time. But even without COVID, you know, no one lives for very long without knowing being afraid. We deal with our fears in different ways. Sometimes, of course, our fears are unfounded or exaggerated, and we need to help get help in getting things into perspective. At other times, we're complacent when we should be at least a little bit afraid, and we need help in getting things into perspective. And that, too, is not just a COVID thing. It's a life thing. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. The story in 1 Samuel 17, as it is going to unfold for us, is about fear. About fear. And the Bible's surprising, but wonderful and powerful answer to our fears. It's not a simplistic answer, but it's a real answer. And this morning we have before us episode 1. A real enemy. The story begins on a day many, many years ago. I think it would have been about 1000 BC, where in a valley, a wide valley that runs east-west, its location, it's about 30 kilometres or so to the west of Bethlehem, if you know the geography of the area. It's a valley known as the Valley of Elah. Verse 1 of our story, now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. The Philistines. Well, the Philistines were a powerful little nation on the western border of the land of Israel, and they were trouble. Again and again and again, they tried to start a fight with the Israelites. You might like to read, and a valuable thing to do just as background to this little series would be to read the whole of 1 Samuel, and you will see what a menace the Philistines were again and again and again. And here they are, at it again. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. Israel's king at the time, Saul, had been appointed very largely to deal with the Philistine problem. But he never did. They were a constant threat. And here they are. This time the Philistines had advanced well into the land belonging to Israel. You see that in verse 1? And they were gathered at Soko, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Soko and Azekah in Ephes Damim. They were a good 15 kilometres or so on the Israel side of the Philistine-Israel border. And so, as you might expect, verse 2, and Saul, King Saul, and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines, a defensive move. The wide valley of Elah ran between Soko and Azekah, and hills rose to the north and to the south of the valley. And I want you to try and picture the scene in verse 3. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, that's the south of the valley, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, on the north, and a valley between them, the valley of Elah. It's the setting for one of the Bible's most dramatic stories. Indeed, I'd say it's one of the most dramatic stories in the history of the world. It's a story of fear turning to faith and how that happened. The action began like this. Look at verse 4. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath. This man came down from the Philistine camp on the south side of the valley. He strode into the wide valley between the armies of the Philistines and the Israelites. We're told his name, Goliath. I don't think the Israelites at this stage, there on the north side of the valley, yet knew his name. But we are told Goliath. It's a name that the Israelites would come to remember forever. Goliath was from the city of Gath. That's a Philistine city quite close to the Israelite border, not very far, in fact, from the valley of Elah. But more important than his name or his town is what he looked like. And this the Israelites could see. I want you to try to see this as the Bible describes him. It's quite unusual, this, to have such a lengthy description in Bible stories. It's there for a purpose. It's there for us to take it in, to see this picture. First, there was his height. You see in verse 4, his height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, that's about 3 meters. This man was huge. He was in the Guinness Book of Records territory. Absolutely huge. And then there was his armour, verse 5. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, and he had bronze armour on his legs. Wow. He was covered in gleaming metal, mainly bronze, protecting almost every bit of his body. The Israelites in these days had nothing like this. This was the latest high-tech armour, and Israel hadn't quite caught up with this. And as the metal sparkled, reflected in the sunlight, he must have been a dazzling sight down there in the valley of Elah. You look at the bronze helmet protecting Goliath's head. Look at the coat of mail covering the top of his body. 5,000 shekels is about 60 kilograms. This guy was strong. That was some bulletproof vest, don't you think? And look at his legs, also covered by bronze armor. This huge man, he was a walking tank, protected head to foot, and very, very powerful. I kind of imagine the Israelites looking down into that valley with their eyes popping. What's that? They whisper to each other. They've never seen anything like it. But Goliath was not just huge and completely protected with his dazzling armor. He was wielding some very scary weaponry. Verse 6, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. So a huge bronze javelin across his shoulders, and a spear with a shaft like a weaver's beam. No one's quite sure what that means, but it's impressive. And verse 7 tells us that his shield bearer went before him. So Goliath had a shield that was so big that a servant carried it for him. It was probably as big as Goliath, completely protecting the huge Philistine from anything. Okay. So you can see this colossal, powerful, apparently indestructible, menacing figure in the valley of Elah. You can see him. Well, now hear him. For across the valley, the voice of the Philistine monster thundered towards the Israelite army on the northern slopes. Verse 8. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle?" I suppose at one level the answer to that question might seem obvious. They'd lined up for battle because the Philistines had assembled for war on Israelite territory. Oh, that's okay. That's sort of rational, but that's not what's going on here. The question was so unsettling. Did they really think that they could defeat the Philistines? Did they think that King Saul was up to it? Really? And to make them more nervous, Goliath added, verse 8, "Am I not a Philistine? And you? Are you not servants of Saul? I'm what you're up against, folks. The one you see before you. The 3 meter tall metal clad Hulk. This powerful, threatening figure. I am what a Philistine is. Are you sure you want to take on the Philistines? And you lot, are you just servants of Saul? Do Saul's slaves really want to fight the mighty Philistines? Take another look at me, folks, and think again." But here's an idea that will save us all a lot of trouble. End of verse 8. "Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me." Choose a man for yourselves. Well, again, when you get around to reading the whole of 1 Samuel from the beginning, you will find that the Israelites had chosen a man for themselves. You hear that kind of phrase used a number of times. Who was it? Well, it was Saul. They'd made him their king. And Saul was the closest thing that Israel had to a Goliath. He was head and shoulders taller than anyone else in Israel. There was no one else like him, we read earlier on in 1 Samuel, in all of Israel. He was the biggest and the best that Israel had. And I have no doubt that those listening to Goliath's rant that day in the valley of Elah were thinking just that. We have chosen a man for ourselves. But it hasn't done us a lot of good. It's not really worked out all that well. "Let him come down to me, down from the hills on your side, into the valley where Goliath stood waiting. Let the man you choose for yourselves come down and face the Philistine." "And," shouted Goliath, "let the winner take all." See verse 9. "If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And with those words, a terrible silence fell on the valley of Elah. The words sank in, and several moments passed in which, who knows, a man might come down from the Israelite ranks into the valley to face the Philistine. Could that happen? As we wait, there is no movement whatsoever on the northern side of the valley. Certainly Saul didn't make a move. He wasn't stupid. All is still in the valley of Elah. The silence is broken by the thunderous voice once again. Verse 10. And the Philistine said, I defy, I think the word means, I mock the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Israelites, you are a joke. Don't you have anyone able to fight a Philistine? Come on, come on. A terrifying enemy. Well, finally this morning, look at verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Well, of course they were. Wouldn't you be? The enemy was too big. He was too powerful. He was too terrible for even King Saul to do anything about him. Only a fool would not have been afraid that day in the valley of Elah. Don't you think? Well, it's quite difficult, but I want to try to resist jumping ahead in our story. For this morning, I want us to stand with the Israelites, gazing, astonished, down into the valley of Elah. I want us to try to stand with them. This is seriously terrifying. And I want us to stand with them because we know what it is to be afraid. And sometimes greatly afraid. You see, that very strange experience of the Israelites that day so long ago, it's not so strange, really. Because what we are up against, friends, what we are up against very often, and every one of us, at one time or another, what we are up against is too big, too powerful, too terrible for even the biggest and the best and the cleverest of us to do anything about. Like the Israelites, the more clearly you can see the enemy, the more reasonable it is to be dismayed and greatly afraid. The Bible has this disturbingly accurate description of human life. It's in Hebrews chapter 2. We are those who through fear of death are subject to lifelong slavery. Those who through fear of death are subject to lifelong slavery. King Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and greatly afraid. Why? Well, ultimately because Goliath wielded the power of death. And behind our fears, behind our many fears, well, ultimately is our fear of death. And so we stand with the Israelites that day, gazing into the valley of Elah. And the note on which I want to close this morning is this. Just imagine how utterly astounding it would be if someone did walk down into the valley of Elah and deal with the monster who was terrifying the people of Israel. If someone could destroy the one who wielded the power of death that day. Imagine that. Which raises the question, serious question, what difference would it make to us? What difference would it make to our fears? Yeah, our fears of COVID, our fears about other aspects of what's happening in our world at the moment, and all sorts of other fears that come to us. What difference would it make to our fears if someone were to destroy the power of death? If that actually happened, and you knew it had happened, what would happen to your fears? Dear friends, the message of the whole Bible is that what is going to happen in the Valley of Elah, and I know you all have some idea what is going to happen in the Valley of Elah for the people of Israel, has happened for the whole world. The message about Jesus Christ is as big as that. The enemy is real. No doubt about that. As real as Goliath. And as terrifying. But by the time we get to the end of this story, over the next couple of weeks, we will understand, I trust, more deeply those words we heard from Romans chapter 8. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, including a Goliath, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please don't miss episode 2 next Sunday morning. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we do find ourselves, particularly at this time, but not only at this time, confronted by situations, circumstances, possibilities, as well as actualities that make us afraid. We sometimes try to hide that. We sometimes try to deal with it in different ways. But we thank you for the gospel, the news, that our Lord Jesus Christ has broken the power of death. Help us to see that this morning. Help us to take it in. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that this news, this reality, this wonderful truth will calm our fears. And help us to move from fear to faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.